you want. We've got mild and optimism, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? You love this podcast.
Welcome back to this Mountain West Connection show. Check us out, as always, mwcconnection.com, Twitter, mwcconnection, Facebook. We're at 1,100 likes on Facebook, so it's Mountain West Connection there. Jeremy Moss with Chris Andres. Week 14 is done. It's over.
Finally.
Uneventful, in my opinion, but it's over, outside of one game. Is that kind of correct? Uneventful a little bit?
Absolutely correct.
We'll get to all the games, but you were at a letdown game. I watched a letdown game. Ugh, a couple of those, but man.
I feel like this weekend it could have been a lot more exciting.
Hawaii tried to make it exciting versus Fresno.
Yes, they did.
Or should I rephrase that? Fresno attempted to make it exciting versus Hawaii.
And Colorado State made it exciting. Air Force. Well, both of them made it.
Well, yeah.
Wyoming and New Mexico made it exciting. And
then, Carlos Wiggins, yeah, that punt return or kick return for a score is pretty big.
Absolute.
But let's get going. Here's where we're starting. For those who are living under a rock, it's Boise State versus Fresno State in the Mountain West title game at Boise State. We'll get to all that later, but as the tradition goes, it's, well, this weekend and next weekend as the coaching carousel full force. Multiple Mountain West teams are in the news now, but the news started off, was it Friday afternoon evening, where get your finger quotes ready. Brady or Bob, jeez, I ruined it. UNLV head coach Bobby Houck, air quotes, resigned as the head coach of UNLV.
Yeah, the UNLV commenters who come on the site and talk, they're hearing the same rumors that I've been hearing on exactly how that resignation went. But no matter how it went down, actually, Houck is out, and there is no search committee formed, which means that people have either already made up their mind or they're just going to take their time with it. So let's look at the candidates.
Here's the candidates. I was debating, I was up late doing stuff right. I'm like, I better get something out to get ready because Saturday is a busy day for games and everything, but these are candidates that have been mentioned at some point or another, legitimate or not. I think a lot of them are not legitimate. Some are. But here's who's been actually mentioned about the job. Here's the candidates we'll throw out the window. Chris Ault, former Nevada coach. Not going to happen. Correct?
Nope.
Because Chris Murray, Reno Gazette Journal, mentioned he wouldn't even eat ketchup because it was red.
That was back in the day.
Yeah. And right now he's has a pretty good gig helping out the Kansas City Chiefs with their offense.
Yeah, he's not doing much, but he's still getting paid. So, who wants that kind of pressure?
Oh, Jim Fossil, former New York Giants coach was the Las Vegas Locomotives in the UFL, and he used to coach in the area. He was coached at University of Utah in the late '80s. Probably not going to happen. He's already got his AARP card eligible for Social Security at 65. That's also not going to happen, but it was mentioned. And then I would think this is the laugher of all laughers, June Jones.
So you said Fossil was before?
Yeah, Jim Fossil.
I think that's actually a very legitimate candidate. Just because, yeah, you said he coached Utah in the 80s. He coached the Giants in the late 80s, early 90s.
Super Bowl winning team.
Super Bowl, not winning team, but Super Bowl attending team.
Oh, I thought
guys
he was
a good coach. Retired, came out of retirement to coach Las Vegas Locomotives because conveniently that's where he already lives. Coached them to a UFL championship and then decided to retire again. This would be a good position then because there's no expectations. He already knows he's a good coach.
Good point. Maybe I'll bump him up to the bottom of the possible candidates.
Okay.
But Jude Jones, really? Come on.
Nope. Out. Not even close.
You know why? Do you know how much he's making at SMU?
Was.
Yeah, was. Or maybe still is a little
like
bit.
Like 1.5 million.
Oh, it was like, I think it's close to 3.
Oh, well, then, yeah, no.
UNLV can't afford that.
Absolutely.
And June Jones is also getting up there in age as well. Then there's the other candidates. And this is from CoachingSearch.com. They mentioned Randy Shannon. He has no ties, but Arkansas, he's coached Arkansas right now, coaching TCU, former Miami Hurricanes head coach. It's an interesting hire, right? Similar, yeah. I call that the Bob Davey hire, perhaps.
That would be a Bob Davey hire, but it's still not really.
Interest is small, in my opinion. Not quite there yet. But he would be a good fit because they need a defensive coach.
Yeah, but you need somebody who understands the culture here in Las Vegas.
True. He recruited well at Miami, but you're at Miami, so that's part of the battle right there.
Exactly.
And then there's another interesting one, T. Martin. I call this also a typical UNLV hire. Here's how they'd present him. Former national BCS champion quarterback in Tennessee. He was in the NFL for a decade. But right now he's at USC, but he's only been a passing game coordinator and a receivers coach. That's even lower than Brian Polian when he got picked up by Nevada. He doesn't have the experience to be a head coach, in my opinion.
Yeah, but that says really nothing about whether a person is a coach or not.
But I would like to see him be an offensive coordinator at one point. He was in New Mexico under Michael Oxley for a season, but still. Come on. And then the two here's the other candidate, which I guess this is a front runner now, which is kind of odd. Well,
I don't. You consider it odd, I don't.
Here's what it is. But before we get to him, let me get to the hire who I think would be the best hire they could possibly get. And you could call me a Utah homer because I went to University of Utah, but defensive coordinator Kalani Sitake. The UNLV job possibly could be beneath him because I've heard he's been holding out a little bit for get a pretty good head coaching gig.
One in Honolulu you can have.
Yeah, that too. That's a possibility. If Norm Chow's not around, he good buddies with Chow, Coach there when he's at Utah. But the only good thing about Utah when they left the Mountain West to Pac-12 has been the defense. That's the only reason they've been okay the past couple of years. Like, not okay, but the defense has been good. There's games here or there that are not very good, but he's a great defensive coach, and I think he should be the number one choice. He's been in the Pac-12. He knows the area for recruit. He's been in the Mountain West. He played at BYU, so he's still familiar with all the areas and the rivalries and all that type of stuff. And like I said, UNLV needs a defensive coach. I think he should be the number one target. However, it looks like it could be.
You said this though about Sitake, not just by UNLV, but also about Hawaii too. I think he's a better fit for Hawaii than he is for UNLV.
Why is that?
Huh?
Why is that?
He's got potential. I think Hawaii's in general, they could use more of a defensive coach, but to fix up that defense. But also because of his ties to BYU, UNLV BYU, huge rivalry. Some of the fan boosters might have a little bit of offense.
They shouldn't because they need a good coach, and they haven't had a good coach since who knows. But. Okay, before we get to the top candidate, what do you think is a better job? If Norm Chow were to step down, what do you think would be the easier rebuild between the two?
Oh, Hawaii.
Easier?
Oh, yeah.
I think that it might be UNLV because they have places on offense already. Like, their wide receiver core is pretty good. Quarterbacks could be better, but I think they have more offensive weapons than defense.
Yeah, I mean,
and they're both pretty bad, so you can't go wrong saying either.
I just,
they're both. It's a long road. Whoever's there, but it looks like the number one candidate, which this could a lot of people are leaning this way, and you'll get some insight. But they're like you said, there's no search committee, so they're not spending $250,000, whatever they're spending. But it's local high school coach Tony Sanchez at Bishop Gorman, and he's done more than okay for himself. He's never lost a game to a team in Nevada. He's won. He's in progress.
Well for the Fremont Cannon.
He has won five straight division, whatever it's called, Nevada high school state titles at the highest level. He's beaten top national teams across the country. If they win their title game against, I think it's Reed, in a week, whenever they play them in a week or two, they'll win the mythical national title. And he always has players going to high level or FBS programs.
And guess what? As soon as you win that mythical national title, there is nothing left.
He alludes to that about saying, I wrote something about, he's like, down, he had some quotes where he's downplaying the, because it's a big deal anyways, they're so good, so they're going to get coverage in the Las Vegas papers, but he's kind of downplaying, I'm concentrated on my team, all saying all the right things naturally, of course. Then he talks about finishing, so maybe he's worried, looking into, let me just finish this season. If I win the national title, there's nothing more you can do in Nevada, you know what I mean? He won five straight, they're going to be possibly six straight titles, state titles.
So, I'm just going to give you a few reasons why Tony Sanchez would be a good choice. Yes, he's a high school coach, and yes, he's won all these, but still, you're given a guy who has his first chance at a college coaching career. Okay. Second, he knows the Vegas Valley better than anybody. He has ties to Bishop Gorman, which is one is the best high school in Nevada for the last 5 years. And actually, arguably, at least the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with the Bishop Gorman ties going, him going to UNLV, he can get some of that Bishop Gorman money. And
for those of you who live outside of the Valley who listen to this podcast, which is a lot of you, Bishop Gorman has a money. They are a private Catholic high school. And their program, their boosters just feed money into the program.
Well, even the basketball program is considered one of the best in the nation. All these guys transferred to go there,
right,
to play basketball. And
the Fertitas who own I think it's the Stations or the Coast Casinos, one of the two, family who have been here a long time, have poured literal millions of dollars. Their football field is called Fertitta Field. I mean, he gets the UNLV job. That Fertitta money, at least some of it should be going to UNLV and maybe building up some of their stuff, as well as some of the other bigger names in Las Vegas who otherwise wouldn't pour money into UNLV sport.
So this is
the kind of thing where if he goes, he'll possibly carry some boosters with him.
He might. UNLV did a good thing a couple years ago, the basketball program, hiring their head coach, Todd Simon, who's helped with recruiting quite a bit as an assistant coach. And that's obviously already paid dividends with the connection there. And Rice's brother coaches at UNLV.
And he's a top five, you know, UNLV is a top five recruit.
Yeah, they get plenty of good guys. But here's my thing. I will mention a story. This people may not – I'm going to say to read – I'm not saying this is a bad idea. I just don't think they should be doing it because first – well, let me try to get the right wording here before I kind of go off and go crazy – not crazy, but kind of into a mode I'm going to get to. Gus Malzone, you all remember him. Do you know the reason he got the Arkansas offensive coordinator job about, what, almost a decade ago?
I do not.
Well, do you know who Mitch Mustaine is?
No.
Okay. People may realize this. He was the number one quarterback in the country, and Gus Malzone was the high school head coach in Arkansas, and they were able to get Mitch Mustaine to come to Arkansas, kind of a quote-unquote package deal to get Gus Malzone to be the OC. To get number one recruit. Mustaine's career fizzled out. He did pretty good his freshman year. He couldn't make the cut at USC. He's like their four-string quarterback when he transferred. But look where Gus Malzahn is now. He went to Auburn to be their OC, Arkansas State head coach, won a national title. That's the path, if UNLV wants this guy, they should take. But my bigger story is there's a similar, almost I could say it's almost identical situation in Texas. There's just the same thing. If people outside, I doubt many people in the Dallas area listen to the show or in Texas, maybe. But there's a school called South Lake Carroll, similar height, prestige as Bishop Gorman, such as they're playing in front of thousands, 20,000, 30,000 people, winning multiple state titles, sending player high level guys to FBS quarterbacks, all sorts of places. He had this offense called Dodgeball, or just basically early edition of the spread attack, and crushed everybody in Texas. And there's plenty of good teams in Texas. North Texas, back when the Sun Belt was not very good. This is when the Sun Belt was terrible. Sun Belt's getting much better, but he went to North Texas and couldn't get anything done. And Dodge was considered the best high school coach in the country at the time, and he, I don't know, I got to look it up right now, but he maybe went to one bowl game, couldn't get anything done in his time in North Texas. And that's why I'm wary of this hiring even one of the best high school coaches in the country to be a college head coach right away. And jumping to the Mountain West, even a bad Mountain West team in UNLV, is much more difficult as a conference is tougher overall than the Sun Belt was back in the day.
I get this. I totally get that.
And also, Sanchez has – the only collegiate experience he has is an undergraduate assistant at New Mexico State coaching wide receivers.
And what year was that?
1986, I think.
Okay, so we're going to go to NMSU football here and see what happened when he was at.
You can definitely do that. But I'm looking at Todd Dodge. He was at North Texas from 2007 and 2010. He's back coaching high school now. In his years as the head coach there, let's see here. Yeah, he won, like, his time at South Lake Carroll, he won 4 state titles and went to 5 total. And lost one game only, and now it's the 2003 state title game.
Okay.
And then when he was at North Texas, here he went 6-37 at North Texas. 6-37 in 4 years. And he got fired in the middle of his fourth year. So it's like, that's why I'm comparing it, because it could be different with Sanchez, but come on, that's why I'm very leery of making this move. Bring him on as OC or quarterbacks coach and do that, but as a head coach, the jump is just so big.
I'm just going to go ahead and say here, we didn't talk about 2 other candidates.
Who else is out there, or have I missed?
1, Bane Kiffin.
No.
But he does have a Mountain West connection.
What is that? Am I missing something?
He played for Fresno State.
Oh, that's right. Oh, jeez.
Completely forgot about it.
He'll get another head coaching gig, but that wouldn't surprise me, because nobody's going to pay him big money to be a high level coach anywhere.
Exactly.
At Oakland, USC, Tennessee.
And he knows how to wreck good level talent. So why don't you put him with a mediocre team with mediocre talent?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or Ron Prince.
No. No. We don't need the hashtag going again.
Ron P for UNLV. I'll start it. I'm doing it right now. Hashtag Ron P.
Hey, side note, we're going to crack 11,000 page views today. Thank you, everyone.
There you go. Okay.
Excellent. Okay. So the other coaching stuff, search the other more outgoing coaching, I guess, is Colorado State Jim McElwain. There's rumors a little bit about him going to Florida because he coached at Alabama, was their OC for a couple years during, I believe, 2 national title runs.
But wait, Stephen Godfrey of SB Nation just speculated.
Ooh, what's
that, just speculated that Hugh Freeze is going to be offered the Florida position.
That has been thrown out there as well, even though Freeze has denied that or denied any talks. Ooh. Let's retweet that real quick, 20 minutes ago. So, yeah, if you want SEC or Sun Belt, SEC, that part of the country coaching news or any news, follow Stephen Godfrey. He's the Bagman article guy. He does a very good job with that. So he's pretty well connected in that part of the country. Give him a follow. But, yeah, that's definitely could change. This is as of Sunday night, almost midnight Eastern, just about on that time.
Yeah, it's past midnight. Almost no, midnight Eastern.
Almost. So that's pretty new. This could change. We'll probably add that to one of my McElwain articles I'm writing. So if he goes, that could mean McElwain's probably staying.
But here's the other job that's actually, I think it's more likely, although I don't think this particular coach will bite at it. Nebraska just fired Pauline.
Well, let's not move ahead to Craig Bull here, because one more quick thing on this. Pat Forty was saying earlier that with Jeremy Foley, the AD, that they've actually spoken with McElwain, and he's the leading candidate, a leading candidate. So he's probably one of the top 3. So, but along with, like, Hughes Freeze is also among one of the finalists. So it's probably going to be McElwain or Freeze. So it's going to be one of those two guys. So it's not just we're saying he might go there because he's been to SEC at Alabama, has done well there, turned around CSU, but they've actually spoken, whether it's agent or whoever. So it's pretty serious. He's looks like he'll be coming down to the wire to get that coaching job, possibly. I'm sorry, well, go ahead.
Okay. So there's also...
let's go back to the Pelini news.
Like Pelini's out at Nebraska, which brings up coaching candidate Craig Bohl for Nebraska.
That's correct.
The reason why I don't think Bohl will bite is because I'm not sure his job is done yet at Wyoming.
Well, clearly, it's year one, so it's not anywhere close to being done.
Right. And also, I think that's why Nebraska won't go after him either.
Also, a reason I may not take is remember when they hired Bill Callahan, they were a pretty good team. Nebraska is currently still ranked in the AP top 25, and then their coach just got fired. Nebraska needs to realize they're not the team that's going to be in the top 10 like they were with Tom Osborne. They're not getting Tommy Frazier back. They're not getting Lawrence Phillips, those type of guys on the team. You fire their coach at 9-3, and this is the second time they fired a coach who has been reasonably successful. So the expectations are extremely high and probably way too high, and Nebraska needs to check themselves to realize what they're capable of getting or not getting and who their coach should be and their program expectations in the Big Ten.
Absolutely.
They got beat by Wisconsin and Minnesota, two top 25 teams, but I don't – what else do they want? All their losses, I guess maybe they're not beating the good teams. They lost to Michigan State and those other two I just mentioned, Badgers and Gophers, but – would Bohl want to do that? That's a question to you because
I'm not saying that's the other thing. I don't think Nebraska, while he did coach for Nebraska for years, I'm not sure Nebraska ready for Nebraska. I don't think he personally is ready for Nebraska.
And the fans would hate it. They want to get the biggest name out there, and Craig Bohl wouldn't be it.
No. Fans are familiar with Bohl's name. That's the difference.
Sure. People know Craig Bohl because the FCS title has beaten multiple FBS teams.
No. I meant people in Nebraska because he did.
Oh, yeah.
Coach for Nebraska during that time.
Well, I mean, people know him beyond that as well. Like, he's had success at FCS, winning, beating teams in that area, game day, and all that stuff as well. I think he'd be a pretty good hire, but I think Nebraska, especially with Tom, I believe, isn't Tom Osborne still their AD there?
Yes.
I believe he is. And they'd probably want to get somebody with more proven success at that level.
Possible.
Apologies, folks.
Yeah, allergies are killing you too.
What percentage would you say he'd be going to Nebraska?
Under 10.
Under 10. All right, so is that the only coaching news we have, I believe? Is that it?
I think so.
Do you think Norm Chow keeps his job? Nothing on Hawaii at the moment.
I think he keeps his job if he wants, but I think he'll resign. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, like somewhere to... well, not Bobby Houck, but he will resign.
Houck, I'm pretty sure, was forced.
Yeah, he got a nice $400,000 exit fee.
Oh,
all right. Oh, also, wait, there is also some small stuff. Our good buddy, Sean Walker from KSL covers the Utes. He mentioned something about possibly – let me see here. Hold on a second. I vaguely remember. I'll pull up something about the – defensive coordinator at Utah State having something going on. What's his name? Shoot, hold on a second. Let's pull this down here. Hold on, where is he at? Where did it go? Come on. I just had it here. Oh, okay, no, he's just mentioning something that if Utah State defensive coordinator Todd Orlando gets any look at any other job. Which could make sense. But nothing substantial about he's going here or there, but something to look out for, which I – oh, there was also minimal things about Matt Wells in Nebraska. Not going to happen. So is that good for coaching news?
Yeah.
Game time. It started Friday afternoon in a crazy, excellent game. Air Force versus Colorado State.
Oh, by the way, this is the last thing. This is Tarkus – who linked an article to 247 Sports from UNLV's perspective. I'm not sure if you read this or not. So
probably not.
This is another. So basically, it says another take of Sanchez, and I'm reading per quote from him. Tony Sanchez, head coach Bishop Gorman. Coaching industry sources say that Sanchez, who will coach Gales a sixth straight national or Nevada championship game on Saturday, has produced multiple college prospects and saved Nevada's biggest program and the leader clubhouse at this point to land a job. Looking around the country at success of former high school candidates like Malzahn, Freeze, and Todd Graham, because Freeze and Graham also coach high schools.
Correct, yes.
It makes sense in this world. Sanchez knows high school football coaches and college coaches across the country and can hire formidable recruiting staff. And as the Las Vegas Review Journal points out, he can come with the financial support of Lorenzo Fertitta, which is what I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
And I did not know this. He's the owner and CEO of USC.
No, I thought Dana White was the owner. He's just the president?
No, he's just the president.
Ah.
The owner of UFC.
Cash. You got money, man.
Who is a Bishop Gorman alumnus and a Las Vegas native. So that... now that I'm reading that, it makes more sense. Once again, folks, this is just all speculative.
Yeah. And then also looks like I found the article now. They're mentioning Ed Orgeron and also G.A. Mangus, who's the South Carolina quarterbacks coach. And then keep an eye on the other guys we mentioned, like June Jones, Chris Hall, and maybe Jim Fossil. Here's the thing, man. I get it, but here's the if you bring in an experienced coaching staff around them, that's great. But why would these experienced, seasoned guys who've been around want to listen to a guy who's never been a college coach before?
I think
the risk is too much. That's what my opinion. I think the risk is too much.
Any logic in ULB's policy making system?
Oh, never. Neither do I.
So, yeah.
I don't know. I just think that there's been, like I said, yeah, Hugh Freeze, Gus Malzahn, but none of those guys went straight from head to head coach. They went to coordinator route before head coach.
Either way.
Let's move on. If the money comes, one last thing on this. There, the guys in the comments are like, well, if he comes in and they get the support of Lorenzo Fertitta and all that, it'll be set up the next coach with facilities in place. That's still looking almost a decade down the road. Do you want to wait another decade of bad football?
At least one new building will go up under Sanchez's time if he takes the coaching job. If he's offered the coaching job.
Yeah. Let's move on. That's enough coaching stuff. We'll have plenty of written about it. We'll do all sorts of stuff. Keep an eye on all this stuff that's happening because people want to know and it happens all the time. And I guess also coachingsearch.com mentioned it came from the Las Vegas Sun that he is the Sanchez, his leading candidate, but kind of sounds like it. But let's get to some games. Let's back to Rams versus Falcons. Air Force is good, man. They're undefeated at home. They're 6-0. They took it to Colorado State, 27-24, with a backup quarterback and backup running backs.
Yeah, can we go ahead and say that UNLV is Colorado State. We go ahead and say that Air Force will be an early front runner to win the Mountain Division next year?
I don't know. Boise State will have Ripon, will probably be their starting quarterback, depending if J.J. comes back, because he's going to be testing the NFL waters. Colorado State will have a new quarterback, but Malcolm Wayne's recruited good QBs. DeHart will be back. Rashard Higgins is a true sophomore. He's back. And then Utah State will still have the best defense with Kyler Fracco back and other players. And the quarterback situation is quite nicely. Well, they have talent at Utah State, so I would put Air Force up there, but I could still see any of the four teams could win the Mountain next year.
And then randomly throw in Wyoming and New Mexico.
Oh, man. The Mountain. Also, real quick, side note, if Air Force and Utah State win their bowl game, four teams from the Mountain Division alone will have 10 wins. Crazy. But this game, I don't know. I watched this game. Looking at the numbers, Colorado State did pretty good on defense. They held the Falcons to 3.8 yards per carry and only 242 on the ground. And the only longest run was 19 yards. If you did that, if you did that, I would say the Rams should have won easily.
So then what happened? Because I'm looking at this, I see Grayson's numbers, 23 of 46. That's okay. 366, three touchdowns, one pick. That's pretty good. And you see, of course, Rashard Higgins.
Yeah.
You know, a front runner for Mountain West Player of the Year right there. And
Blitnikoff finalist.
And Blitnikoff finalist. He only did pad his stats. 12 receptions, 193 yards, two touchdowns. But Air Force just hung around. And not only did Air Force hang around, Air Force was up 24-10 late in the third quarter.
They did, and part of it was there's a too many, way too many drops for Colorado State. There could have been more points. There could have been drives extended. They only went 6-15 on third down, which isn't very good, but there are plenty of drops that uncharacteristically these receivers had, and that played a big issue to why they didn't get the win.
Speaking of 6-15, that's not just the third down conversions for Colorado State. That is Nate Romine, his completions and attempts, Air Force quarterback. Six completions, 135 yards. That's over 20 yards of completion, my friend.
Yeah, and Garrett Brown caught five of those. And there's that Jaleen Roman team.
Garrett Brown, who knows?
Yeah, he didn't throw a touchdown pass. It's just, it's hard to tell because Weston Stillhammer had the one big play I want to point out is the, let me see when that was, but Weston Stillhammer had another interception. I don't know what, I remember now it was on a key third down late in the game. There was a double slant route. There was a Higgins on the top, and Higgins, I will agree with the guys on CBS Sports. If Higgins were to, if Grayson were to throw into Higgins, it was single coverage. There was enough wide receivers on the field, so they couldn't, there wasn't really a deep safety on that side of the field. Higgins would have gotten past the defender and scored a touchdown. But instead, Grayson stares down. I think it was possibly Joe Hansley. Let me see here. I'm not sure. It was tied 24-24. The Rams were past midfield, and it was an interception by Stillhammer because Grayson just stares down the wide receiver, and Stillhammer makes an amazing jump, as he seems to do every game, and just took the ball for almost 10 yards. And that did end the game. That stopped the big. That was probably the key play of the game, even though Air Force went on to punt on their next drive and three and out, but it stopped a Rams drive, which was moving pretty consistently.
It stopped the Rams scoring drive, pretty much.
Yeah, and their kicker's pretty good, and they were, yeah, they already throwing the ball well because next possession, Falcons have to punt three and out. So the interception did nothing. Rams get the ball again. I don't know what they're doing. They could not. I guess I get know what they're doing. They have DeHart running the ball. They're at the 42-yard line of the Falcons, so you're in no man's land. You're tied. There's 44 seconds left in the game. I'm of the opinion, why not punt at that point? Air Force does not have Kel Pierce. He's not going to throw a deep bomb. You stop their running game all day. Make an option team go 80 yards down the field, or they need a field goal. If you put them at the 20, they have to go at least 50 yards in less than a minute with, I think, one timeout or two timeouts. They had all three timeouts at that point because they called all three in the next drive. So instead of getting DeHart shut down, which they shut him down on the 4th-and-2 run, why not punt the ball and make the Falcons go 50 yards instead of about 20 yards with 44 seconds left? That's a bad coaching move.
Yeah, it's questionable at best.
Because I get Hart went 4 yards on two plays before, but Jason Oden Jr. ran the ball once, no gain. They stopped the Hart. And the Rams called a timeout. I'm like, I don't recall if they called the timeout like right after the play or if they let the play clock click down, go down. And they're hoping Hart would get maybe 10 yards and, you know what I mean, a decent run for a game-winning field goal. But I think they should have punted that ball at that point and make Air Force go the whole field because they've proven outside of one pass, they haven't been able to drive down the field like anything a deep pass. They had the one deep pass was to 26 yards on that drive that killed them. But that play, that determination to punt, to run the ball on fourth down and not punt cost them the game.
It really did.
Even if you got the first down, I would still say it's a bad call.
I would. I would have said it was a good call. And that's the thing about these calls, is they're good or bad based off whether they succeed or fail.
No, I disagree. There's calls, if they make it, it's still a bad call. They shouldn't have done it. I understand him trying to do that because, well, here's D. Hart was averaging 5 yards a carry against his defense. So you expect, okay, if he gets half of that, that's a first down, but he got stuffed. Now, do you have anything else to add on that besides the defense folding over on that final drive for that deep pass?
No, that was pretty much it. Colorado State losing, Air Force beating both the toughest teams in the conference at home. But with Colorado State losing, that just left one game to settle the Mountain Division title. But we'll get to that game later.
We'll get to that. Next game is Wyoming versus New Mexico. Oh, man, if you miss this game, you miss a lot of points, you miss scoring. You missed a typical New Mexico, let's score every play in over 50 yards and take care of business. 36-30, New Mexico wins, and Carlos Wiggins wins the game on a 97-yard kickoff return.
So what you're saying is nobody can stop New Mexico when they're on the run.
Well, look at their touchdowns. Like we mentioned this versus Boise State. They had a 75-yard pass to Tyler Duncan from Lamar Jordan, one play, a 69-yard Jarrell Presley run,
then a 97-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, they have big – well, kickoff return. They have huge plays. The running game did New Mexico, and again, only 241 on the ground, but averaged 7.5 yards a carry.
And here's also the thing. New Mexico works their option offense almost perfectly. Lamar Jordan only attempted the passes 7 times. He completed 6 out of those 7. 141 yards. That's 20 yards.
Damn.
An attempt.
Yeah. An attempt.
There's more than that for completion.
He's amazing. Jarrell Presley did well. Lamar Jordan ran the ball well. And New Mexico played, they turned the ball over twice, but they recovered. They also got a pick six off of Colby Kirkgaard. Kirkgaard did all right. He had the yardage. But I'm wondering how much that ankle is really bugging him, because he was less than 50% despite throwing 366 yards. Brian Hill did a good thing, had 163 on the ground. This came like a back-and-forth game, and Wyoming probably thought they had the game won. They're up 30-28. Well, maybe not. They figured they're in a good shape to win. But, dude, you can't give up the kickoff return to end the game.
No, that seems like what Wyoming does every single time when they're in the lead, when they're – post a strike, they just give up a big play. JoJo Natson, when he kick returned for a touchdown.
Boise State.
Shane Williams Rhodes. So Wyoming still needs to fix their special teams.
And then also on the last drive, when they scored a field goal, it was a 29-yard attempt.
I also will say that Brian Hill is a very good candidate for Mountain West Preseason Player of the Year for next year.
Oh, that's a ways to go. If we pick Rookie of the Year, because they don't have that, who would it be?
Oh, obviously Brian Hill.
Over Kent Myers?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
If Kent Myers had won yesterday, Kent Myers.
He went 4-1. And
has done so much.
But Hill's only played a couple games. That's why I'd go Myers.
Yeah. And here's the thing about Myers. He played about, what, half a season?
Four and a half games.
Brian Hill came in.
Same thing. He played. He had a couple of carries here and there, but basically since maybe right CSU on, he had everything was great. Boise game wasn't all that efficient, but he had 100 total yards or 97 total yards and a pair of touchdowns. I could see that. I'd go either way. But it'd be between those two guys, I'm assuming. I don't think any other true freshmen or any.
Lamar Jordan.
True, him too, yeah. You could consider him. He's off and on in there. I could see Brian Hill being that guy. He set the Mountain West record for all-purpose yards. That's got to mean something. So bowl team, next year, bowl team or not bowl team for either of these schools? Or both?
Bowl team for both?
They both finished 4-8.
Is it wrong to say that every single team in the Mountain Division could go bowling, theoretically?
Outside of UNLV?
Mountain.
Oh, wait. Jeez, I still don't know these teams. I don't think so. Everybody's going to be as good or better in the Mountain Division. New Mexico is going to be better. Wyoming's going to be better. Utah State will be about the same, which is still really good. CSU might take a small step back depending on the quarterback situation. Air Force.
Situation.
And what was that?
And coaching situation.
Not sure coaching. I think Utah State will
keep we have coach. Some non-Mountain West breaking news.
Ooh, what do we got here?
Wisconsin Whitewater football coach. So that's Division III NCAA.
He's a pretty good coach.
Leopold just took the job at Buffalo.
Oh, okay. I see right now from the AP. Go check out for more of that. If you want anything, go to ubbullrun.com. They'll have everything covered for you. Our lovely
that
Buffalo.
Is a steal.
Oh, one other thing, too. We didn't mention this. If, do you know who the best coach would be to replace if Jim McElwain does go to Florida? We know who it is. Everybody wants him to be the head coach in FBS level.
Do I say Lane Kiffin again?
No. He coached it. No. He's never coached Division I football before. Bob Stitt. Colorado School of Mindset.
Yes. That's a good choice, yeah.
That because I really want it. Craig Bull is doing great things so far, it seems like, getting Wyoming competitive, getting big wins. They beat Air Force. And I would have Stitt would have been head coach of Wyoming. That would have been great. But his offense, they actually – if you go check Bill Connolly's archives, there was a game where – because if you look at highlights of Bob Stitt, you'll just see the highlights. There's no real game because there was a big deal with Dana Holgorsen and Orange Bowl of West Virginia. But there's actually a game on CBS Sports Network where you can see his entire repertoire of offense, good and bad plays.
So this is my last moment of Leopold before we should probably go back to the game.
Yeah.
You know how we said Chris Peterson and Coach Boise, what would he hit first, 100 wins or 10 losses?
Yeah.
You know how that turned out? How about Leopold is 106-6 at Whitewater?
Hasn't he won like 3 or 4 straight Division III titles or something?
Yes.
At least?
Yes.
Yo, geez, he reached 100 wins in 106 games. Holy crap. Yeah. That's to replace Jeff Quinn, I'm pretty
that
sure.
That is a steal for Buffalo.
Yeah, that's a definitely. It's a big jump, but heck. It's a good move.
So, back to – is there anything else to say about this Wyoming-New Mexico game?
I would say I'll give New Mexico more credit toward a bowl game over Wyoming because you got Lamar Jordan back. I believe Jarrell Presley is not a senior. He's a junior. And his Carlos Wiggins is also a non-senior, right?
But at the same time, you get Brian Hill back for Wyoming, and I think Kyle Kirkgaard is a senior, so he won't be back.
I just don't like the quarterback situation at Wyoming, but they lose Dominic or Azil Ruffin. Sorry, that's it. Sandy.
Dominic Ruffin.
Dominic Ruffin is gone, I believe. Yeah, he's gone. I just think New Mexico, I'd give them a slightly better chance of making a bowl game over Wyoming because for everybody who says their run option, pistol, triple option is not fun or exciting, it's exciting to watch. And here's a crazy stat real quick too. New Mexico had 10 first downs to 30 to Wyoming. Wyoming went 12 of 23 on third down. Hey, do you know what New Mexico went on third down? Do you have that in front of you? Or do you want to guess?
It was like 1 of 7 or something.
So close. 0 for 7 on third down. And they still won. That's crazy.
New Mexico, man.
Get on the Lobo bandwagon. Get Football Bob!
That's some hard drug to take.
That is. All right, next game. San Diego State versus San Jose State.
Okay, I'm going to play a game with you.
Blowout. What do we got?
I'm going to play a game with you.
Yes.
Without looking at the box score.
Okay, I don't have the box score in front of me.
Okay. Most impressive / embarrassing stat of the night for San Jose State.
Oh.
Okay, it's either
you gotta give me something.
It's either A, Quinn Kaler going 4 of 15 for 34 yards. B, San Diego State running for a total of 393 yards. Oh, and that's including Quinn Kaler's 2 carries for minus 8. That's probably
lovely.
Or C, San Diego's poor punting, 5 punts for 138 yards. Which one of those three is the most embarrassing? Oh, first. Wait, you know what? I'll give you a fourth one in there. Okay, I'll give you a fourth one. I'll be nice. Okay. San Jose State's passing, 17 of 31 for 133 yards. And that's and they're using the literally the quattro back system.
The El Quattro? Most embarrassing for San Jose State?
Most embarrassing for San Jose State.
Well, it's not embarrassing.
Outside of the box score, which was 38-7.
It's not embarrassing that they held Quinn Kaler to that few yards. That's pretty good. I would say the quarterback situation is embarrassing. Because here's the thing. We know their pass defense is pretty good, but that's not embarrassing to give up only 34 passing yards. And we knew the rush defense is terrible, so I don't care what they give up. It's still going to be bad. So I got to go with the quarterback situation, which I see now. And also notice that Joe Gray was the leading passer with 90 total yards.
Oh, so
I didn't watch this game, but this game looks like it would have been the worst thing ever to watch for passing football.
And what's hilarious, what's even worse, is that Joe Gray, 9 for 13, 90 yards. His quarterback rating is 54.2. Blake Jurich, 7 for 15, 43 yards. The quarterback rating is 32.9. That's because of the interception. And out of those, the best quarterback rating was Mitch Revisa, 1 for
Mitch
2
Revisa.
For 0 yards, 95 points. Alec, how is that?
How is that better? How does Joe Gray not have a better rating? Because he has a touchdown.
Quarterback for the future.
And the worst, and not as good as a completion percentage.
He's been your drunk.
I don't know what their QBR is, but I.
Sandy had a game plan. The game plan was
Pumphrey.
That's the ball.
Yeah, Pumphrey. Holy crap, Pumphrey. 267, averaged 12.1 a carry. Amazing. Chase Price had 93 yards. That's all they needed to do. But, geez, Quinn Kaler, can't you complete a pass? Holy crap.
He didn't need to.
He was less than 25% completion percentage. Come on. Or just slightly above, excuse me.
Yeah, just slightly above. Nah.
Aztecs won the game. They needed this win, and they were in the hunt for the Mountain or the West title, but obviously that did not come to pass.
I mean,
there's nothing to say, man. This was just
No. There is nothing to say about this game, and everybody's like, oh, so you guys are San Diego State haters or San Jose State haters. There is nothing, like, in terms of stat-worthy, on the last game of the year on a blowout, it's not, like, important. I mean, it's important for San Diego State to win if they wanted to keep their title hopes alive. And if Fresno State had lost, we'd be talking about how San Diego State would be in the championship game. But we can't even say that.
Nope.
We can possibly say that despite all that, San Diego State probably was the best team in the Mountain in the West Division.
Overall, they probably they played Boise.
But they couldn't finish the job versus Fresno.
Yeah, lost to Fresno, and they lost to they beat Air Force, which is pretty big. They lost Nevada. Yeah, road games. That's what it was. They lost at Boise, at Nevada, at Fresno. They went undefeated at home and only won, or did they go win? They won one road game. That's it all.
Won one road. And it's undefeated at home, 1-5 on the road.
Yeah, similar to Air Force.
Oh, you know what? Here, stat. Donnie Hadjman, 1-for-1 field goal, 5-for-5 extra points. So San Diego kicking consistently improved throughout this whole year.
Can't be worse than Sheamus, man. Jeez.
Sheamus. Wee 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 Sheamus.
Next game? Yeah?
Do we have to? I mean,
did you end up going back to watch any of this game?
Which one?
We're going chronological order, so Boise State thumping
Utah State. Fresno State, Hawaii is next.
Oh, why does my ESPN tell me not tell me that?
Because you're wrong.
Okay. Fresno State, Hawaii, 28-21. Man, Robert Kaleleka, is that the correct way to say his name? Is that right?
Kaleleka.
First off, we need to get him on the show.
Yes, we do.
Second, I put up a video of the Statue of Liberty by Fresno State, which is quite impressive. But I mentioned, watch the play, but stay around for the call of the Hawaii.
Can we have Robert K. Kaula, like, watch
the show
with us and, like, broadcast a game with us for one of the bowl games?
People already mentioned he should be on the mega cast for ESPN's national title game.
He should be. He's fantastic. I don't care what you guys say about horrible Hawaii announcers or biased Hawaii announcers. He is easily one of the best announcers in the game. Would you rather have that or Vern Lundquist and Gary Danielson?
Oh, geez. Vern Lundquist is the worst.
I would rather I want Robert Kekaula announcing my games all the time. I don't care what it is.
Okay. Yes, he is.
He needs to be paired up with a British guy, right? It's coming in hot, and the header is off, and then you hear Robert Kekaula, my, it is not good. Right over the corner. I mean, it would be the greatest broadcast ever of all goddamn time.
I do that. Have him and Gus Johnson call a game. That'd be pretty nice.
No, Gus Johnson gets to make it to sideline announcer for that game.
Hey, I wouldn't mind.
No. Gus Johnson does not deserve to be in that broadcast. Whatever you say.
He's good. Yes. Here's the thing. The reason he's a Hawaii homer, he does for Time Warner Oceanic. A home broadcast, but he's enthusiastic. His accent is great. He knows football. He knows what he's doing. He does his good job, but
going to go ahead and put him as the Spanish equivalent of the World Cup announcers.
Ah, excellent.
I'm going to go ahead and put him up there with that.
But the thing is, I don't think
the Univision announcers, I'm going to put him up there with
that. Yeah, Telemundo, Galavision, Univision, whoever. But the only problem accents. Sorry, I muted myself. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't. What was that?
His accent might preclude him from getting some sort of big time.
Well, screw that.
I'm just saying, that's how people are. It's like, if you ever listen to on, I don't watch College Game Day that often, just a little bit. What's her name? Samantha Still, I think it is, has, you could tell, she tries to phase it out, but she has some sort of southern type accent.
Okay, so here's the thing. So, about this game. Ortiz Waller, best runner of the game, duh. But at the same time, 25 carries, 137 yards, 2 touchdowns. Great. Brian Burrell, back to his usual self. 19 of 32, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
Ayeka Woolsey.
The better quarterback of the night.
22 of 39, 247, 3 touchdowns. Those 2 picks were both in the first half, I think.
Yeah.
If Hawaii had recovered the onside kick after the touchdown was scored, do you think this game would have gone into overtime?
The way the Fresno State defense folded in that fourth quarter, anything's possible. They allowed in that fourth quarter. So the game was a blowout, so I kind of stayed away from it. But when it was 28-14, I tuned in intently to see, because we all saw what happened.
They scored 28-0 in the second quarter. I turned off the
game. Yeah.
Like, I got to go get ready.
Oh, yeah, me too. I had to saw score. I'm like, oh, screw it all. And I was getting ready to get a few things written up about if the Fresno was going to win. Then I see, wait, they're 28-7, 28-14. I turned it on, because versus UNLV, they scored, 40 seconds at one touchdown?
Yeah.
But in the fourth quarter, here's Fresno State. Actually, here's the second half Fresno State offense, which is terrible. First possession, eight plays, punt. One play, interception. Two plays, interception. Nine plays, only went for 23 yards, they had to punt. Then they took a knee on the last play for -5 yards. So their second half offense, they had only 5 possessions. Really 4, because the last one doesn't count because they recovered the onside kick.
They were stalling more than a 1950s jalopy.
Oh, baby. Also, there was also an issue with Hawaii. They missed a field goal, which was pretty unfortunate in that third quarter. But did you see the last play? I made so much time making a GIF out of it. I just posted it about Daron Smith going 99 yards on that fumble, non-fumble. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, game's over, 35 to whatever. Oh, bring it back. But, man, Hawaii, they were terrible in the first half, great in the second half. It was just
which is very typical Hawaii fashion.
They made 6 of 6 fourth downs pretty good. They were only 4 of 18 on third down, which crushed them. The 2 first half turnovers were bad. They just needed to have if they could have done anything in the first half, they could have won, and who knows what would happen.
They would not be in the championship game.
No, because San Diego State would.
And a bad run.
So since Kurt at this moment, late Sunday night, Norm Tell's still the head coach. Will he be the head coach Monday morning?
Yes, I'm telling you, this job is Norm Chow's unless he really doesn't want it, unless he's basically going to say I'm too old for this. But he's not going to be forcefully resigned.
Basically, Hawaii has nothing going forward. Joey Issef is a senior. Ikeka Woosley is a sophomore, but their defense isn't very good. They're losing talent. I don't see how they're going to be any better next year.
I don't know. They keep Marcus Kemp, right?
Yeah, he's a sophomore. He'll be back.
So Marcus Kemp is a sophomore. I mean, there's your and Quinton Pedroza will be back.
I guess you got Dysme St. Justy. Is that correct?
Dysme St. Just, as well as Stephen Lakalaka.
Okay, so there's
and you also have Paris Joas, who showed up every once in a while this year.
What about Scott Harding?
Mm-hmm.
Is he God? Scott Harding is God.
Scott Harding is God. But who knows? You can recruit another Australian punter. Yeah. They're pretty in high demand right now.
Look at Utah does. Their punter Tom Hackey does that.
Look at it. LSU. Yeah. Brad Wayne, man.
That's true, yeah. Next game.
So the question was, will Hawaii be improved next year? I think they will. I think they're going to have a stronger offense last year than they did this year.
They have to. They'll be margin. Okay, I'll put 4 wins is still an improvement from what they have last year, 2 wins, if I'm correct on that. Maybe 5 wins? I don't know. If they improve somewhat exponentially to what they did last year to this year to next year. No, they won 1 game last year. They won 1-11, beating Army the final game of the year. I guess it is a 3-game improvement, so there's no reason to say Chow would be gone, but I don't – they'll finish about the same next year, I'm thinking. They might be closer, maybe get a 5th win there, but I don't see them making a bowl game next season.
So,
moving on, right? Boise State hosting Utah State.
That game actually started later than.
Oh, but it ended before the other one. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
So what's your you want to say the what you pick? You can go to the game you're at if you want, because you're at UNLV Nevada.
We could. Let's go with that.
Okay. So how does it feel to UNLV give up a 35 second half to points to lose the game and have Blake Decker throw terrible interceptions to nobody in red on the TV?
That movement annoys me so much. And it's not for the fact that it's a rivalry. It's this fact. You want to talk about safety of your players. Safety of not only your players, but safety of your fans, your visiting fans who come. They come and rush the field on a rival's turf. No, I mean, I was at the game. No less than 3 fights broke out behind me. 3. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you don't let players rush the. You wait till the cannon is back on campus, and then you host a parade.
Especially since UNLV is terrible at 2-11.
Yeah, there's no reason to rush a 2-11 team's field.
We mentioned. Like before the show, you're telling me about that, and I'm like, had UNLV either a couple exceptions we agree with. This is for your Western Division title, or UNLV's a bowl team. That's the only reason I would say that's okay to rush a better team than you, I would say, and they're bowl eligible.
Exactly, and this is a Nevada team. Okay, fine, you get to go to the bowl game still, and you just got the cannon back. But guess what? You just choked away your whole division this season.
Yeah.
I get it. The cannon is the most important game of the year. But it's just no excuses for rushing a field. Especially an opposing field.
Yeah, beat Fresno State, man. Come on. That's all you had to do. Beat Fresno and you're in.
So besides that, the game was good in the first half.
Yeah, the game, the tipping point for me, because I finally decided
to. And then play calling got questionable. And Decker became more questionable.
Well, I think the big turn was when the 2 touchdowns, like in 20 seconds or whatever it was in the third quarter, where Kendall Brock got that the short pass from Fajardo, and then the terrible, terrible interception to Lenny Jones, which was a pick six. And then there was also, I think later, an interception in the end zone.
Yeah.
Wasn't there, weren't there all those consecutive possessions?
Well, yeah, it was near consecutive. And also, this is going to hurt you bad. 408 rushing yards.
Yeah.
Let's just put it this way. Cody Fajardo was 5 of 13 on the night passing for 46 yards.
He was not very good throwing the ball. He was terrible.
No. He had 3 touchdowns, 1 interceptions. So that means that three out of every 5 completions he makes, he scores a touchdown, which means he's only passing in the red zone. But still, Cody Fajardo, 13 carries, 143 yards. He's averaging 11 yards on the ground. Don Jackson, who has been spotty at best this season, 22 carries, 132 yards, 6 yards per carry. James Butler, who's been spotty this season, 11 carries, 116 yards, 10.5 yards per carry.
Freshman James Butler.
Freshman James Butler. You can't do that. You can't allow that. Absolutely not. I mean, on the UNLV side, UNLV had 205 yards rushing.
Yeah, Shaquille Murray Lawrence had a pretty good game. Touchdown came extremely late, but he had over 100 yards, 135 yards.
And when Decker used his feet, he was very good.
Yeah, 9 for quarterback for a guy who's not known to run as much as, say, Fajardo or any type of dual threat guy. 9 for 50 is pretty good.
So, you know.
I think it came down to Decker just imploding in those couple possessions in that third quarter. Because Nevada scored, was it 28 straight points?
Yes.
And that includes a Devin Combs touchdown. Backup quarterback came in to play. I guess he played a stupid wildcat position, whatever it's called.
Yep.
And scored 5 yards out.
So, here's the other thing. UNLV had every UNLV should have taken more shots down the field. Rakeem Yates, defensive back for Nevada, ejected in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Or on the first play of the game, personal foul for shoving and taunting. A little bit later, after he intercepts the ball in the end zone, he throws it in the face of the UNLV receiver and gets ejected for that. No reason. Yates is then now out. That leaves an extra man, you know, a man who's not deep, for Decker to go deep on. And guess what? He did use Devontae Davis. He used, he did not use Devontae Davis. 1 reception, 3 yards. So that might have something to do with it. That actually has a lot to do with it.
And then, yeah. But then also, UNLV goes 2 of 13 on third down. Nevada wasn't any better. They're 3 of 11. This game was back and forth until I keep going back to the 2 touchdowns in however many seconds, and then the next possession, interception in the end zone. That was the game. Those 3 possessions, or that cluster of plays, was the reason Nevada won and UNLV lost.
Absolutely.
Because it was 17-14 at the half in favor of UNLV. 21-17 Nevada in that first score. UNLV had a field goal, still 21-20, but that's when the game went off the handle midway through third quarter, and Nevada just took over. And Nevada's going to bowl game. UNLV is looking for a new head coach again.
Or rather, possibly, who knows, actually found a new head coach.
At this time, there's a vacancy there in the UNLV. Yes. Next game. Boise State hosting Utah State, which everybody's hoping would be a great game, turned out to be a dud. Because it was, well, not necessarily a dud, but a non-competitive game. Boise State steamrolled Utah State 50-19. Ridiculous.
You know what I like the best about this?
What?
Outside of the 50-19 victory? How about the Jalen Davis blocked kick returned for a touchdown?
No kidding. That's crazy, man. we got the highlights up on the site, but you never see a block. It's very, very rare. You might see one a year. Utah State's down, 20-7. Yeah, he doesn't just block. He blocks it and catches it in stride for an extra 2 points. That just never happened. But the main thing about – one thing about this game that I honestly believe – I'm not just saying this. People say, hey, Boise State, whatever. But if you're – Utah State in their first drive, they get the ball. They have a big play. Here's what they do in their first drive. First play of the game, LaJuan Hunt goes 55 yards on the ground to take it to the Boise 20. Utah State stalls on the drive. Okay, that's unfortunate when they're in the, they get in right to the red zone. Nick Diaz, who's a very good field goal kicker, misses the 39-yard field goal. You're on the road. What were they, double-digit underdog in this game, I believe? Something close to that? Was it 9 points or 12 points, something like that? But you can't miss a field goal on the road in the first possession, have a big play by Hunt and go to waste. I'm not saying that would have made the difference, but you go up 3-0, you score right away, that would make some sort of difference in the game, at least for the time being.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because who knows what would happen? Boise still may have won 50-22. It could have been 4. You know what I mean? It could have been slightly different. Could have been the same results. But one thing I noticed watching this game, I don't know what happened to this Utah State defense in the first half, but I saw multiple missed tackles by Nick Vigil, B.J. Larson, all the guys who make these big plays, not wrapping up and not making any sort of tackle, which is very...
Or they just weren't able to make it.
Missing. Like, no, just missing it. There is one, Nick, I forget what play, I don't know if it's one of the many J.H.I. touchdowns, but is it Nick Vigil 41, correct?
Yes.
I believe. There is a tackle. He had him... Two hands, yes, he's Vigil is on the ground, but two hands around the ankle of Ajayi, and he gets out of it. That, and I think he went for a big gain. That didn't slow him down. I don't know. I get it. If you've got two hands around the ankle, it's not an easy tackle to make, but Vigil's a big guy. He could have pulled back Ajayi to make him fall. He just broke down and kept going. There were missed tackles, getting faked out of, getting juked out by whoever's running the ball. Just overall, a poor defensive effort from Utah State, and I did not expect. I was expecting a low-scoring game, maybe like 30-20. That's not low-scoring, but like maybe 30 points for Boise State.
I said I said in the pregame preview, if Boise State hits 30, they're going to run away.
I figure they'd at least win at 30 minimum, but I was thinking lower-scoring game, competitive game, but. Kent Myers, they went downfield a little bit. He was inaccurate doing so. But Utah State's defense, Boise got out to a big 14-0 lead. Utah State couldn't do anything. Third down, they're 1-for-11. Didn't get that one till late in the game. Three turnovers killed them there. Utah State did have a defensive touchdown. But, man, they couldn't stop J.J. He just did what he wanted. And he had five touchdowns. And 229 on the ground. No running game. LaJuan Hunt, who had that 55-yarder, had 58 total yards for the game and only 4 carries.
And Kent Myers scrambled around a lot.
For not many yards. Well, 43.
Well, Grant Hendricks got scrambled a lot, too. 14 carries for minus 1 yard. his long was a 7, meaning that he was getting pressured when he tried to scramble, and he wasn't getting past that line, which he knew what was going to happen.
Correct. His pressuring, Utah State, they did get pressure back there, but anything that's weird, Utah State has some pretty good, like Brian Chitera, they have plenty of good defensive backs, but anytime there's pressure, Hendrick was able to avoid it and still find a guy open. A lot of times you see Utah State, the guy, either the quarterback was getting sacked or Utah State forced a bad throw. Hendrick was able to avoid the sack and the receivers helped him out by getting open to get it. Whatever yardage that may be. He wasn't – Hendrick, 18-24. He only had 191 yards, but that's extremely efficient. And he was, like I said, he was able to avoid the sack, and guys were helping him to get open, and they are completing passes after the pass protection broke down. It just wasn't close. And it's unfortunate because a lot of people stayed up late to watch this game, and it – not even close.
Yeah, there's nothing left to say about this game. And unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to watch it at all.
Didn't miss much. Yeah. I guess being a Boise State.
Well, hey, no. I was score checking. I was score checking and Twitter checking every single minute of that UNLV game.
Of course.
So
I just
let's go to some. Are we done here?
Well, just about. It just kind of stinks. Like Utah State, they've, I guess, two things. Utah State wasn't playing against great competition the past month. We knew their offense would struggle a bit. But here's the thing. They didn't get the big plays they normally get. They didn't get some big special teams play. JoJo Dotson only had 20 yards total offense. Or, yeah, 20 yards pat receiving, minus three rushing. So there's the big plays that we saw versus Wyoming, versus these teams where they had a special teams touchdown, defensive touchdowns. They had one defensive touchdown here, but Boise State limited any big play that Utah State used that was not an offense. Or even, not even offense, but there's no, like you even said, if they get a special teams touchdown and Natchin goes off, that's a way they could have won. But Boise State held both of those in check. And Ronald Butler had two punt returns for 5 yards. Their kick returns, it was Jalen Davis, 2 for 25. That's the thing. Utah State could not get a big player in the need, and Boise just continued what they did versus Wyoming, crushed every aspect of the game outside of very few big plays Utah State had. And with that, so Boise host.
We have one Twitter question, but this argument has been going around, especially between the banter between the Colorado State and
Boise. Air Force, I'm putting Air Force number one, right? Is that the correct call you mean?
No.
That's not the correct call, or that's not the question?
No, that wasn't the question. I didn't get to the question.
Oh. So what is your...
Basically, the Twitter banter between the Colorado State fans and the Boise fans about, oh, you know, you beat us back then, but we would hand you guys. I really don't think so. And finally, here's my take on it. Look, you guys dominated Wyoming. We dominated Wyoming. You guys dominated New Mexico. We did not dominate New Mexico. And then you came to a game like this where Utah State should have been able to make it a game. This was easily the second or third best team in the conference.
Yeah.
Behind Colorado State. Colorado State beat Utah State by a score of 16-13, just barely. But you know what? Boise State doing something like kind of just goes to show they're still the class of the conference.
They are. 100% agree.
So, you know.
Two things, too, about kind of the Boise CSU. I, like everybody else, especially maybe I get so much crap about you and our poll saying, why do you have Boise number two forever? Well, CSU one loss, played extremely well. And we had to wait to see Boise or CSU Air Force. We saw it. Air Force ended up winning. Air Force is amazing at home, 6-0. They played better than Boise State did against Air Force, but still a loss. And I don't. We had to compare somehow. We didn't get that till this weekend. But Boise just crushing. Well, Utah State just they are the best team. Like you said, there's all sorts of questions because if you look back at preseason, Utah State was projected to win the Mountain Division. Was not Boise State. Was not Colorado State.
By our readers.
The media as well who voted had Utah State number one, I believe.
No, they had Boise State, Fresno State.
Oh, they did? I was thinking it's Utah State.
It was our writers who had Utah State.
It was extremely close, I believe.
Yes, it was.
You sure it was? I'm going to double. Well, I'll trust you. I don't trust you, but I thought it was Utah State for some reason. Or maybe Utah State got as many votes. Was that it?
Yes.
I want to check now because I'm curious. I know we've been going forever, but all it comes down to, Boise State, the past two, because there were questions to doubt them middle of the season. The New Mexico game, Nevada game, a lot of questions when they almost lost.
It wasn't really the Nevada game, though. Nevada game's where you could throw everything out the window.
A little bit, but New Mexico for sure.
It was really the New Mexico game that brought up questions.
Yeah, New Mexico, them. I still say people are going to hate me for this, but if Donald Pumphrey, or not Donald Pumphrey, but Jarrell Presley did not leave that game injured, New Mexico probably would have beat Boise State.
I'm not sure about that.
I think he would have because it's a third option running the ball, and he was just crushing and slicing through that defense. I think if he would have stayed in, maybe not for sure, but I would lean toward New Mexico pulling off the upset if he didn't get hurt.
So, the only Twitter question that came, I'm going to Twitter questions because I kind of want to finish up the show.
Yeah, we're done here. I think one. Or two.
Anthony Diaz, who is our Fresno State writer. Or
Twitter dude.
used to write. Stills our Twitter dude.
No, it was. Sorry to interrupt. Utah State was favored to win the Mountain Division by the media.
Really?
Yes. Utah State had 9 first place votes. Boise State had 5. Colorado State had 1. And that's from the media.
Well, anyway,
Our question,
how will it feel when Fresno, I'm going to censor this,
expletive,
craps in your punch bowl this Saturday, and my answer is, like I said on Twitter, and I will say on the show, if it's a real bulldog pooping in the media press box punch bowl, I will laugh, and I will not drink the punch.
If that happens, I'd be crazy. If they were to, I'm assuming he means they'll beat Boise State. Exactly. We'll have plenty of stuff on the Mountain West title games upcoming week. If that happens, that would be crazy. Because hey, Fresno was only lost 37-27 in a close game to Boise early in the year. So and at Boise, so it's Fresno's playing a little bit better. Boise's playing a lot better. The line opened at 17 points toward Boise State. So there's that. And should we make the news now that about the attendance of us being at the game?
You can go ahead and make your attendance.
Are you still up in the air?
I am most likely a no.
Yeah, our plan was to go to the Mountain West title game because we are able to get in. However, I have a new situation that will preclude me because the Sunday after is very important and I have to be working all day and I can't get back in time. So the plan was, that's why I was crossing my... For personal reasons only, who cares the outcome? That's why I was kind of hoping Utah State would win, because then I can only drive 2 hours to the game instead of 6. But after seeing the first couple drives, I threw that out the window and said, it happened. So I will not be at the game. Chris may be at the game. Maybe.
Most likely will not be at the game. But there is a chance. How's that sound?
A chance at what? You'll be there?
Yeah, there's a chance I'll be there.
We'll see. But
it's most likely not.
Stuff gets in the way, but who cares? We'll be there. It's not any different than what we normally do around here, right?
Something like that, yeah.
So that's our show. I don't
basically,
know how
long... if we were both to be there, you would get a live podcast.
After the game.
Before right. And after the game, maybe. Yeah. Or maybe during the game. Maybe we'd be calling the game and announcing our own game.
Cannot do that during the game, so that would not have happened.
God damn it.
But it would have been cool. Do an in-person show, do all sorts of random stuff that I used to do covering games, but it happens. Who cares?
We now have to wait until the Mountain West tournament.
And knowing me, this is the second time a job's gotten in the way where I couldn't go to either event. So we'll see. We'll see if this next job is better than the last job. So we'll see. But that's our show for tonight. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. We will have plenty of previews, tons of – if you remember last year, we had about 50 updates on our story stream. For the Mountain West title game, we'll have interviews. We'll probably do a couple podcasts with our Fresno Boise guys to see how that turns out. So, yeah, that's it. Check out. Thanks for listening.
Also, one last thing. If you are still listening right now,
thank you.
I will create a post on this because it is important. Cyber Monday is tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And this is an offer. Straight from our people who we partner up with, Game Day Depot. And it is
15%
off. Our blog team store, Mountain West Connection store on Game Day Depot, will be offering 15% off on Cyber Monday.
Quinterback shirt can be yours.
Your team t-shirt, you get it, 15% off. You want a quinterback offense t-shirt, you get it.
Woo-hoo.
Want a 56A Connection dial-up t-shirt? Go ahead and get it. If you want a boring Mountain West Connection t-shirt, you can get that.
Hey, don't call that boring. You got to hype this up.
Yeah, but that product isn't as good as our product. Let's be honest.
Okay, true. Yeah, check that out. That'd be very appreciative. Give me a Chris and Nickel, perhaps. Maybe a dime if we're lucky. I don't know what it comes at, but hey, they're pretty cool shirts. Check them out. I actually may order one, Quinterback. I like that shirt a lot. But
I'll probably actually order all three.
Ooh, excellent. So do that if you can. Check us out. We're at iTunes, SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher. Leave a comment. Leave 5 stars, but tell us we suck. Perfectly acceptable. And I apologize for last show, which I put in backwards for the first couple hours. So I fixed that for everybody. So sorry about that. But again, MWCConnection.com. We have the Mountain West title game Saturday night, 10 Eastern on CBS, 7 Pacific. Should be amazing. But hey, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for listening. And we'll chat to you probably a couple times this upcoming week.